Welcome back, Farm Talk. I'm Mick Kerr, North Dakota Corn Council Studio. All right, we're going to have a serious discussion now about something very serious. Remember back in school when you misbehaved and the principal had a talk with you and he started out with, okay, what's the problem here? Or if dad had a discussion with you, he'd say, what's the problem here? Well, obviously, fertilizer prices are misbehaving, so we ask Brian Parman, North Dakota State University Agribusiness Management Specialist. Brian, what's the problem here with the price of fertilizer? What's going on?
Well, the thing is, I mean, the prices are actually reacting like you would expect given the situation. The trouble is the reaction is higher fertilizer prices than we've seen in almost a decade. You know, not since around that 2010 to 12 time frame have we seen price of urea and anhydrous or UAN as high as it is, as well as phosphorus and even potash is very high.
When the price of corn or soybeans goes up, obviously the price of fertilizer go up regardless, irrespective of other outside influences, because everybody wants a piece of the pie. But this time is a little different, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, well, one of the things that happened, and of course we know we all are well aware of the pandemic, but before the pandemic happened, you know, there was a kind of a drawing down of inventories that a lot of the larger fertilizer distribution companies were doing, as we saw, you know, years of kind of sustained lower commodity prices. And so they wanted to draw down on some of these fertilizer inventories. Well, then, you know, enter the pandemic and different types of supply chain issues, as well as storms causing plant shutdowns, and there just isn't the slack in the system anymore to adjust for it. So without that slack in the system, of course, then prices rise much faster and we can wind up with issues. And then China's they're a major distributor exporter of fertilizer and components and chemicals. And they've kind of put a clamped down on their own exports. And they've also mandated not necessarily a shutdown, but reduction in some of the production of key chemicals that go into fertilizer, and not just fertilizer, but glyphosate. For instance, they've suspended or reduced their yellow phosphorus production, which is a key ingredient of glyphosate, and just phosphorus in general. They've kind of suspended or reduced a lot of the exports that they typically do. And the Americas in general, North and South America, they get a lot of that product from China. So it's not just the United States affected. I mean, it's a global issue.
Yeah, this morning, an announcement that the country of China has canceled a major export of urea to India. So, yeah, it's a global situation. Again, this time different. If you don't have fertilizer in the shed this winter, may you go without next spring?
I think there probably is going to be some, not widespread shortages, but some spot shortages around the country as you know, distributors try to get their hands on things that their producers need locally. So you may see some situations where they may be able to get it, but it might be very delayed. And we all know with agriculture that, you know, a few weeks it could be a huge difference in terms of how effective whatever they're putting on is. And so I think you might see some of that being an issue where you've got these spotty shortages around the state and around the country as distributors struggle to get their hands on what their customers need.
Yeah, a lot of times in springtime we are concerned about the breakup of ice on the northern Mississippi River, the barges that can't bring it north from the Gulf. But I mean, based on what we've been hearing and what you said, there may be little to bring north up the Mississippi River next spring.
Yeah, that's kind of what we're thinking. And with the curbing of exports from China, and then storms, like I mentioned previously, affecting Louisiana and Texas, major chemicals manufacturers, we're just seeing that there's probably going to be some issues and just some product that doesn't get to where it needs to be on time. I think that's a very real possibility. And then those who are able to get it are obviously going to be paying substantially more than they've paid in years past.
Yeah, sticker shock. All right, Brian, how does the supply of and price of natural gas roll into this? Is that another layer of the onion?
Well, in terms of, yes, it is, because for one thing, the production of some of this is energy intensive and using natural gas to actually produce it. But on the other side, on the other hand, the production of nitrogen fertilizers, especially anhydrous ammonia, uses natural gas as its key input to actually produce the stuff, not just in terms of energy, but they use the natural gas to produce it. And so that's one of the inputs. So the price of natural gas has, the last 10 years, I would say, maybe even before, it kind of got decoupled from the actual cost of fertilizer. It was more of a supply and demand for fertilizer question globally than it was tied to natural gas. Historically, before that, you could almost benchmark what fertilizer prices, nitrogen fertilizer prices were going to be based on what natural gas prices were. Well, after a while, that quit being true, but only to an extent, because if natural gas prices go high enough, absolutely they're going to drive the price of fertilizer higher, just because it's such an important input to its production.
And then there's the value of the U.S. dollar, both now and through the winter and into the spring. How does the value of the U.S. dollar and the ability of the U.S. to purchase foreign ingredients or foreign fertilizer to get crop started next spring, how does that play in?
Well, obviously, you know, exchange rates are sometimes, yes, they matter, and yes, they have an impact, but it's not quite as tight as some folks think. But, you know, if the dollar is weak relative to other currencies, and by weak, I mean, you know, worth less than it was previously, we obviously have to spend more dollars to get those inputs. And then the reverse is also true. If the dollar is strong, then it feels like to our customers or our farmers that they're spending less on fertilizer. So, you know, the dollar hasn't been as strong as it has in years past, which, you know, that's kind of that whole, I guess, double-edged sword kind of deal, in that when we're selling our crops, if the dollar's weakened, our products look a lot more attractive on the global market. But at the same time, if we're buying imports, then we have to spend more dollars to actually acquire them. So, you know, partially it can be a good thing, and in other ways, you know, it hurts.
Boy, I guess that might get take a year to get rectified.
Well, I think that's part of it, but the other part of it doesn't get mentioned is the country of China's working on curbing its emissions a little bit due to the, believe it or not, the Olympics being held there.
Yeah.
In some of these provinces that are key producers of some of these chemicals. And so that's having an impact. Then we had storms, as I mentioned previously, the hurricane before that it hit Louisiana and caused the shutdown. And there just isn't slack in the supply chain to absorb it. So sure, absolutely, the pandemic has had an impact on dealing with the logistics of shipping and bringing in products. But at the same time, it's also an issue of, you know, the Chinese government deciding to curb some of their exports and their production, and then Mother Nature. And then to top it off, we've had strong crop commodity prices such as corn. And so the expectation is that farmers are going to want to plant more of it. So you got a strong demand base. At the same time, we've got several supply chain issues all happening at the same time.
Gee. And once upon a time, the biggest thing we worried about was we couldn't go to the movies or the high school basketball game. And things have gotten a lot bigger lately. All right. Brian, your thoughts on the strikes going on at John Deere. Case over in Europe has shut down some production based on supply issue, the chip shortage that started in the auto industry but has now spilled over into the ag equipment industry, and then labor, which is suddenly saying, well, me too, I guess. What's your thought there?
Well, I think we're seeing a good bit of that. I mean, it started with obviously the domestic auto industry and the value, how that's impacted used car prices and new car prices for that matter, or just the availability to even get them. I know folks who've been on the waiting list for parts or something like that to for repairs, and then been there for several months. And you couple, like with the new equipment market, you couple the higher prices of steel and other materials, and then the shortage of computer chips and components that go into its production. Yeah, I mean, that's another issue that we've actually done some talks on and discussions on, not just equipment prices, but just flat out the ability to actually get some of the new equipment. And with plant shutdowns, obviously, that's not going to help things either. But I think part of that, too, is it comes from the ability or the availability of some of these components that go into their actual construction. And then, of course, yes, we have tight labor market in terms of a lot of open jobs. I mean, anyone can just drive around the Fargo area and see nothing but help wanted signs and very good wages being offered for help, and restaurants shutting down all during different days or keeping different hours because they just can't staff them. And so absolutely that's going to have an impact on the equipment industry.
Yeah, the supply chain applies to labor shortage too. So amazing.
Yes. Yes, it does. I mean, it's very much so. And we saw that, if harking back to the pandemic, when we had the issues in the meatpacking industry and the COVID outbreaks of those, and they had to shut down, and what that did to the supply chain.
For sure. All right. Well, Brian Parman, NDSU Extension Agribusiness Management Specialist. Basically, you're an economist, but you didn't say, but on the other hand, once in the last 10 minutes. So, Brian, thank you.
No problem. I try to keep those words out of my mouth as much as I can.
All righty. Thank you so much for the visit. And, hey, we'll check in with you later.
You bet. Have a good day.
You're the same. Thank you.